When I arrived, immediately when I came from the airport, I was seeing, it's a very beautiful city actually, Portland, it's with all these buildings and nice bridges and something like on the West Coast, you know, it's nice to see a very beautiful city like this, San Francisco, and then, you know, San Jose, Santa Cruz, where we're staying, it's not so much of a city. And then Los Angeles is just spread all over. But it's not like as picturesque a city as Portland is. And San Diego is something small. But very nice to be able to come up here. And, of course, the devotees here have a long history. We remember the devotees when they were in ISKCON. That they had a temple here in Portland. Still have one, right?
On the outskirts.
Pardon me?
On the outskirts of Portland.
Okay. So, we're very fortunate to be able to say that in this lifetime we've come in association with personalities like Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhardev Goswami Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Sundar Govindadev Goswami Maharaj. I mean, what wealth can you have in your life if you don't have the association of saintly Vaishnavas in your life? Of course, many of the world is also enriched by their disciples, and persons who are spreading their message and spreading their glories, and that is also very, very nice. It's very rewarding to be able to, you know, to come in association of devotees and association of friends of devotees and their families, and to be able to glorify our acharyas. I mean, that is really the real wealth of life. I remember I went to India in the very beginning of 1971. I was talking with before the program. Went to around the beginning of February. Srila Prabhupada had just gone there in, I think, September. He went to Gujarat and he was touring through India. And we arrived there. When we got there, all the devotees were kind of, there was one flat that they had in Warden Road in Bombay. Went to a store today and met some man from, his father was Italian, his mother was born in Bombay. He was born in Bombay. He was a salesman in a store. I mentioned that when we arrived there, we went with Prabhupada, and there was one flat, it was on Breach Candy, and he said, oh, I was born in Breach Candy Hospital, he told me. So that was on Warden Road in Bombay. There was a flat, there were a lot of devotees living in that flat. And then Prabhupada was having a festival called the Festival of, Cross Maidan, Cross Maidan. And Prabhupada said when you're all over Bombay, there was all these billboards, the Hare Krishna people. I mean, there was lots and lots of billboards and advertising. And Prabhupada said, when you're going to hunt for the rhinoceros. When you're going to rob Fort Knox. He said, if you don't succeed, people will say, oh, it couldn't have been done. But if you do succeed, everyone will take notice. So that was what he was doing, this huge festival in the middle of Bombay. And 70,000 people or so were coming every night to this huge pandal. It was amazing. And this philosophy is something like what Srila Rupa Goswami says. He also says, what is the use of a bowman's, what is the use of a hunter's arrows or a poet's poetry, if it merely penetrates the heart but doesn't cause the head to spin. So Srila Prabhupada was endeavoring to make people's heads spin, and he was successful in that. A big festival for about, I guess it was a week. And so many devotees, like, were all initiated on the stage in that festival, received Harinam, and some devotees were married at that, I think, Vegavan and Padmavati and some others. He was from Sweden, she was from Australia. And it was just a big, really nice festival. So that was, you know, that attracted people's attention. Prabhupada endeavored in that way and very beautifully. Then he went to, we got on a train and we went to Kolkata. In those days, Kolkata. And they organized a big program in what's called the Esplanade. Esplanade is along Chowrangi. It's huge park, like huge green. It goes all the way from the Victoria Memorial down, and they play cricket matches there and everything. So he had a big pondo there also. And that was a time when there was what was called the Naxalite movement was going on in Calcutta. Like a revolutionary movement. And they were killing a lot of, about 7 or 8 businessmen. They would either hold them for ransom or kill them every week. So Srila Prabhupada, did a festival there. And he received some threats while he was doing the festival. One note was passed to him when we asked for questions and answers. Some note was passed to him that said, "Fly or die." Srila Prabhupada just, his name is a boy Charan out of India, one who's fearless. We saw that. He was always fearless. He was not intimidated by anyone. I told, we were doing, later, that program was also very big, and there in Bengal, we had the novelty that the first time, I guess, in a public program, we were distributing like halava and puris, but when they distributed the puris, people would charge for the puris. I mean, the puris would go flying in the air and everything. The puris was a big thing. Luchi puris. So then later in the year, we did a program in South Calcutta in Deshapriya Park. That was during Bangladesh War in 1970. So we do the program, and sometimes during the program there'd be blackouts. And when the electricity came on, you could, Prabhupada's voice, it would be crackling with the electricity. It was like he had so much energy. It was like Shakti coming through. And I remember saw another occasion where he's not very fearless. I mentioned this many times, but I like this. We went to this one college where there were a lot of Bengali youth there, and they were trying to, challenge Prabhupada. One of them students stood up and said, "Well, we see that many of you, you're all chanting and dancing, but you're all foreigners. We're Bengalis. You don't see any of the Bengalis joining or any of the students here joining or singing. Why is that?" That was a question, So then Srila Prabhupada said, "Well, it must be because you're one of 4 kinds of people." And he said, "Namam duskritino mudha prapadyante naradama maya parita gyana suram bhava mashrita." He said, duskritina means that you're all impious. And namam duskritina mudha. Mudha is like an ass, just working hard day and night for chasing after a carrot of some kind of pleasure, never attaining it, but just working hard, coming back, to enjoy some mundane pleasure, some family relations at night. He said, just like an ass. Or naradama. Naradama, so many cultural interests, so many things like that. But Narottama, lowest of mankind, Narottama, very low among people. Narottama, or he said, Mayaparita Jnana. You're students, but all your knowledge is being robbed by illusion. Or he said, or Asuram Bhavamashrita. He says, or possibly you are just Asura. And then he pronounced it demons. Demons. Then he said, but I am not saying this. Please don't take my offense. I have not said this. He said, these are the words of Krishna, and Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. So that's how he answered that question. I think the student got what he was asking for. He was trying to be a little intimidating to Prabhupada. Prabhupada answered him back. Sometimes, like, Prabhupada wasn't intimidated. Anyway, that, and from there, later in Delhi and Tilakadora Gardens, I guess it is, freezing during the winter. And I just say freezing because we were sleeping kind of like, you can say, on the ground or on the lawn or whatever. It was cold. And we had blankets, so. Then, like that, Hyderabad programs there. Anyway, I had that opportunity. I also met with one of my godbrothers. Well, he actually just left later, but maybe some of you knew him, Chidananda Prabhu. He later became, Chidananda, and then later, towards the end of his life, he became Bhakti Premik Siddhanti Maharaj. Passed away in Santa Cruz. A very, very nice person. When I got to India, Srila Prabhupada told me, he's a pure devotee. That's what Prabhupada said. Very nice. And his name's in the Krishna book. He had contributed to that. And Chidananda Prabhu. Anyway, that opportunity, and then we all stayed in India for so many years because Prabhupada was there. He would spend maybe 6, usually 7 months of the year in India, and then 5 months. 5 months he'd travel in the West, usually from April to about September, something like that. April, May, June, July, August. And 5 months he'd be gone, come back. But then we had an opportunity to be with him in India, so that was very nice. And then sometimes he'd go for a walk, and I remember he'd say to me, he'd say, now you, he'd call me Panchadravida, he'd say, you take the part of the material scientist. So then I'd say, all right, we won't argue it with you about whether the soul exists or not, because that's outside the realm of science. We'll just take it as a given that your soul exists, that the soul exists. But I'm asking you that I will combine, I'm young, I said, I will combine my chemicals in a test tube in the laboratory so that your Krishna will send a soul there into my test tube. Is that acceptable? He'd answer me. Say, you rascal, you will not tell Krishna where he will send a soul. And I remember one incident where he was walking in Vrindavan. We were walking in Vrindavan. And then one devotee said to him, Srila Prabhupada, in Los Angeles, there are so-and-so devotees there. They're only taking Ekadasi preparations. Srila Prabhupada said very dryly, he said, oh, advancement. And everyone crowded closer. Advancement, Srila Prabhupada? He said, yes. Then somebody, who was, I guess, a pundit, said, oh, but it says in the Bhagavad Gita that all living entities exist on food grains, and food grains are produced by rain, and rain is produced by sacrifice. And Srila Prabhupada is like, obvious, you know, he's saying very, you know, with straight face, he says, that is for animals, those who are passing semen, he says. So then people went back and they were telling, oh, this Ekadasi, taking Ekadasi preparations. So then later Srila Prabhupada went to Los Angeles, and I wasn't there then, but I heard about that. They said, oh, Prabhupada, these devotees are taking Ekadasi preparations all the time. He said, oh, why is that? And they said, well, they said, Srila Prabhupada, that grains are for animals. And he said, I eat grains. Do I look like an animal? Obviously, when we were walking, everyone thought he was just being, you know, he was saying this with a straight face, that everyone thought, oh, when he's saying that, you know, oh, advancement. I was wondering why he's saying advancement, but I thought something's up here. But anyway, it was very nice. There's a very distinct sense of humor, you know, when you're in, especially you're in India, Bengal, and, you know. Srila Govinda Maharaj also would say like that. He'd say, I'm like Lord Jagannath. Lord Jagannath, he says, he has no hands, he has no feet, but he has eyes. He says, so I'm seeing everything that you're, you know, he said, basically, I'm seeing everything that you're doing wrong, and I'm not doing anything about it. So I'm like Lord Jagannath, they have no hands and feet, but I have eyes, I'm seeing everything. But then later he would say, maybe 2 months after something happened, he'd say something to you with, in a sarcastic or humorous way that you knew he was correcting you. Like that. That's a very nice thing about having the association of saintly Vaishnavas. You can read the scriptures, no doubt. We're saying guru, sadhu, shastra. All these things are very beneficial. Have the association of guru, have the association of saintly Vaishnavas, having an association like of all of you. And Shastra. And the Shastra will certainly give you nice guidance and correction. But the nice thing about being in the association of the Acharyas or of the guru is that he can take you literally by the shoulders and shake you, you know, and correct you. Otherwise, I can, you know, quote so many verses and twist things according to my own desire, but that's not very, very helpful. Mother Vaishnavas, they'll correct you. And anyway, so they have that, have had some in this country, you know, Srila Prabhupada was here, Srila Govinda Maharaj came here, and so many Vaishnavas, you know. We have our particular line. We're now serving the Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mutt, and I know many of the devotees here, they're also from ISKCON and from other branches of Vaishnava, Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And all this begun by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Govinda Maharaj, when he went to Venezuela, Caracas, he said Srila Prabhupada blasted a tunnel in the mountain of false ego of the West. And we are entering through that tunnel. In other words, that Srila Prabhupada had blasted that tunnel and Srila Govinda Maharaj, he could come enter through that tunnel that Srila Prabhupada had blasted in the mountain of false ego of the West. And, you know, some special mercy comes to everyone just by, you know, having been born in these countries and having been able to receive some of the mercy that's, you know, come, you know, you can go to the holy lands and you can bathe in the sacred rivers and all those things, but the Vaishnavas are more merciful because you have to go a long way to bathe in a river, and what will be the effect? But the Vaishnavas, they purify the holy places, and like the holy places personified, they come to you. They give you association. And anyone who's had something of that in their life, and everyone, you know, you're all here. How you got this Sukriti? We all have some Sukriti. Sukriti is very different from pious activities or punya or whatever you want to say like that. You know, you can have good karma and get some result from good karma. But Sukriti is different. You don't buy Sukriti. You can't, you know, Sukriti comes to you from above. It's given to you. It's transmitted by the Vaishnavas, and it's given, you know, when that's what we were talking about, offering oneself, offering things to the Vaishnava. They say there's Gyata Sukriti, there's Agyata Sukriti. There's something that you do knowingly, and you get some Sukriti, some good result, some spiritual result from that. And there's Agyata Sukriti. You may not know what the benefit you're getting. They say that Bhakti Sharanga Goswami Maharaj is a prominent disciple of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He used to go collecting, you know, personally. He would collect on a time. This one time that he's especially collect is called Brihaspati Barbel. Brihaspati Barbel is like Thursday afternoon. It's considered that if there's a most businessmen, they won't want to do so much business on Brihaspati Barbel, because it usually means somebody's a big gainer and somebody's a big loser at that time. But he would go collecting on Brihaspati Barbel, because he'd say, in connection with receiving the Lord's mercy, you can only be a big gainer. So he'd go out and he'd preach at that time. And one time he was preaching to some man who was very miserly, and that man said to him, "Wait a minute, wait a minute, Swami, here, I'll get you something." And he went to his house and he came out and he presented his uttariya here, ashes. And Srila Goswami Maharaj, he says, "Yes, I'll accept your ashes." He says, "I'll find some use for them. I can use them to polish some of my brass. I can use your ashes to polish some of my brass. But why am I accepting your ashes?" He said, "Because it is teaching your hand how to give." He told him like that. "It will teach your hand how to give. It's good for you." That's the humility of the Vaishnavas. And, you know, otherwise, you know, time is passing. All the time is passing very quickly. Maybe some persons here are young and, you know, think, well, time is passing not so quickly. But, you know, look at people's pictures and everything like that, and you'll see. When I was given this name, Janardhan, by Srila Govinda Maharaj, I looked. Sometimes it says Janardhan, it says friend of the people. But I was thinking, I was looking up in a dictionary. Maybe you shouldn't look up things like this in a dictionary, the Lord's name. And it said Jana, people, and Ardhana, someone who disturbs people. Disturbs people. And I said to Srila Govinda Maharaj, "So does this name mean..." You know, Janardhan is the name of Krishna. It's mentioned. And I said, "It means, seems to mean something, one who disturbs people." And he said, "Well, kind of, but what it means more literally is someone, it means he who is eating people." Eating people. And he said, how is the Lord like someone who's eating people? He says, Time is consuming everyone. In the Bhagavad Gita, you know, when Krishna shows his Virata Rupa, his universal form, he shows that form to Arjuna. And he says, "My dear Arjuna," he said, "you know, if you think that by leaving this battlefield, you're very reluctant, if you think that by leaving this battlefield..." Arjuna's seeing in this universal form, he's seeing all the soldiers on both sides being chewed up in the teeth of the universal form. I guess that's a very literal way of seeing that he was eating people. He's seeing that all these soldiers are being chewed up in between the teeth of the universal form. And then Krishna says to him, you think if you, by leaving this battlefield, that any of these soldiers are going to go home? He says, it's not going to happen. Whether you leave the battlefield or not, it's already ordained. No one is leaving here, you know. And then Srila Prabhupada said, and Arjuna reflected, Arjuna thought, my Lord is very determined. You know, because he was saying nimitta matra. He's saying, you know, forget whether you're opposed to war or anything. Just forget nimitta. The Bhagavad Gita is not counsel how to prepare yourself for war. It's more about, you know, what's really happening in life. Nimitta matram. You become an instrument of the Lord. You become you see your divine connection. Everyone's soul, everyone's spirit, everyone has some soul, and that soul is meant to be used in the Lord's service. You know, all waves are flowing very nicely and beautifully, favorably towards the center. On the plane of false ego, that's not happening. On the plane of false ego, everyone, instead of establishing seeing themselves as concentric waves around the center, they see themselves as the center. And then, so we have, what do they call that? Geocentric, heliocentric, and egocentric. So egocentric, everyone is the center, their ego. It's the center of their existence. And all these waves coming out from these, like you throw a rock at different places in a pond, all these intersecting circles of waves. But if there was a common center, that wouldn't happen. So ultimately, everything is flowing favorably towards the real center, which is the Lord. And everyone can align themselves with that. You know, right now, it's like, you know, Maharaj Yudhisthira explains this. I see it in the newspaper. If you pick up the newspaper, how much good news is there in the newspaper? There's a newspaper in Santa Cruz called Good Times. You know, I guess that they can have good times by ignoring all the bad times that are going on even in that city. You know, good times. But, you know, most of the news you pick up and you read, you know, it's not really such, you know, it's like Maharaj Yudhisthira says that, you know, every day someone is being dragged away to the court of Yamaraj, to death. But everyone's making plans as if they'll live forever. That's really the news, you know. And what was it? Oh, I remember when Srila Govindamaraj came to California we're in SoCal. So, in India, I'd always see that he'd watch the evening news on the television. And it would usually be some man or some lady would stand up there and, you know, they'd have a few shots, but mostly they're just reading the news. What's the news? What's going on? And it was very, you might say, very low-key. But in America, we're thinking, you know, you turn on the news, it's like an extravaganza. It's, you know, like they've got all these, you know, shots, and they're trying to entertain people. So anyway, thinking that Srila Govindamaraj watched the news in India, someone brought in television, turned on the news, and they handed Srila Govindamaraj the remote. But Srila Govindamaraj, the news is on, and then when the commercial comes on, which is quite often, you know, he'd take the remote and turn the volume up to full blasting volume. You know, then the commercial would be blasting. And we're like, you know, it's almost painful that commercials are louder anyway. And then he's jacking up the volume to full and it's blasting. And then we're wondering, what's going on? Whenever the commercial comes on, he turns up the volume. And then he says, this is the program. He said, this is the real program. The rest of it is all filler. That was his comment. The evening news is all filler. The real program is the commercials. And I think that pretty much summarizes what's going on with the news program and television in general. It's all filler. The commercials are the real program. Pretty much, you know, newspapers, well, also. But we're not receiving good news because we haven't got a proper receptor, and we're a little bit out, you know. Let's say, you know, proper, you know, and, you know, what is it? We heard the saying, varna shram dharma, proper adjustment with the environment, or, you know, what is it? That when you're properly adjusted, well, we'll just say, when you're properly adjusted, you news that you get is good news. You're not getting any bad news. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he wanted to establish a daily newspaper in Calcutta. Someone complained to him, how will we get enough news to fill a newspaper? How will we get enough articles, spiritual articles, to fill a newspaper? He said, how many newspapers are there in this city? There's several newspapers. Amrita Bazaar, Patrika, the Telegraph, so many newspapers. In every city, there's so many newspapers. You know, I'm sure there's several newspapers in Portland. Different newspapers in San Francisco, San Jose. There's several newspapers in every city. They're not just one newspaper. And yet, they're always full. They always have enough. They always are full of so many articles. He said, how is it that the material creation is insignificant compared to what is happening spiritually? And they can fill up so many newspapers. And, you know, that's like one, you know, but the spiritual news is the real, is, you know, greatly outnumbers what is material. And why we cannot have a newspaper every day publishing these news. I was doing like that. So also Bhagavad Gita giving us simple information that who we really are, we're a little bit embarrassed by not having a full slate of activities in this world sometimes. You know, spiritual activities are the actual activities of the soul. And other activities, you know, speaking disparagingly of anybody's lives or what they're doing. It's not our, you know, we're not trying to deal negatively with anything. We want to see things in a positive way. Positive means actually who we are and what we're really engaged in. And there's a way of properly utilizing everyone's energy. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, what is the real difficulties in this world? Everyone's enchanted by Kanak Kamani and Pratishta. Kanak means wealth. You know, Kamani is enjoyment, especially man and woman, or on any level of sexual enjoyment, Kamani. And Pratishta means desire for fame. So, when he was saying, he explained Kanak, how that can be used. He said, all Kanak, all wealth is meant for Narayan because Narayan's the husband of Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. In this world, she's known as Chanchala. Doesn't stay very long in one place, but she's always situated at the lotus feet of the Lord. They're saying any wealth, money, that's meant to be used in the Lord's service. Kanak. And Kamani, all enjoyment is ultimately meant for Krishna. Krishna is very good at enjoyment. Krishna, you know, we live in an age, the consumer age, but actually Krishna is the greatest consumer there is. You know, everyone's a consumer, but Krishna beats everyone at consuming. And in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, if you offer me a leaf, a flower, a little water with love and devotion, I'll accept that. And nobody's so poor that they can't have a leaf, flower, or some water, some fruit, you know, and offer that to the Lord. But what's the real ingredient he's eating? You know, he's not just interested in eating, as some people will say, vegetarian foodstuffs. You know, it's not like you know, Krishna just thrives on quinoa or whatever it is that you're offering. But Krishna is actually consuming your love. Whatever you're offering with love, that he's accepting. So all, you know, and he's a consumer. He consumes people's affection, people's love. Then, and pratishta, fame. All fame is ultimately meant, you know, for Gurudev. We can say Nityananda or Balaram, but ultimately we'll say Gurudev. We are like what you can say, retailers. You can think of them, Namhata. We're like retailers. We're just, you know, selling on a small level. What is Gurudev's property? Name, preaching, all these things are Gurudev's property. He's the wholesaler, and he has the big warehouse. We get something from him, and we distribute it on a smaller scale. But all the fame is ultimately meant for him. When Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that, one of his disciples who was married, householder, he says, well, we all have wives. He said, you know, especially, I guess, the phrase, all enjoyments meant for Krishna. He says, we have our wives, family. He says, what is our position? And Bhakti Siddhanta just said, you have no position at all. Oh, it was kind of a direct statement. But actually, everyone can utilize all these things very positively in the service of the Lord. And that is very nice. I heard Srila Govinda Maharaj, he said, well, Prabhupada, he mentioned four principles. He told everyone, no meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, and no gambling. And that's mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Maharaj Pariksit, you know, in dealing with the personality of Kali. It says, you know, these things destroy, what is it, cleanliness, mercy, the austerity, and truthfulness, these different habits. And, but Srila Govindamar said, but Prabhupada didn't so much mention also that in the Bhagavatam, Maharaj Pariksit, you know, Kali then says, well, all these things, I can't find it where places where these activities are going on in your pious kingdom. So how will I be able to find some shelter? Where can I live? And then Maharaj Pariksit gave him a hint, and he said, wherever wealth is being accumulated, there you'll find these other activities going on, usually, you know. So then Srila Govindamar laughed, and he said, well, Srila Prabhupada wanted to make a world mission. So he's not going to talk so much about, you know, like he wants to, you know, to be able to build temples and print books. So there's the proper utilization of wealth and why wealth can be offered to the Lord. But he was joking, of course, and Prabhupada was very expert in attracting persons. We saw in America, attracted Ambarish. Ambarish was the son of, you know, what was it?
Henry Ford.
One of Henry Ford's sons. He joined. Then he married, what was the lady he married? Rutherford. She was from what? Wealthy. They had that Fisher Mansion. You know, you see in General Motors. What is it? You see Body by Fisher? You know, so she was from her side of the family was the auto union, I think. And his side was the something like that. Anyway, he was from the Ford family. Then they married. They donated to Prabhupada the Fisher Mansion, which is this. They sold the mansion was for sale in Detroit. Actually, it was in what you could say in the slums. The whole neighborhood around it had degenerated, but the. And they were selling it on the market cheaply. I mean, for a big mansion with huge mansion with all this gold leafing and everything. I think they sold it at that time for $300,000. But you know, there's more than that much just in gold leaf, practically in the mansion. Very beautiful mansion. So he attracted that Henry Ford and in England. People know he attracted the Beatles, you know, and like that. He was attracting people all over the world, and people were coming forward and joining the Hare Krishna movement. And he was utilizing whatever is to, you know, serve the Lord and also to spread the glories to the Lord. And many people didn't even know his name, you know. They published in India, they had Srila Prabhupada on a commemorative stamp. And they also have his name in the Encyclopedia Britannica and all these other, and practically, probably now, most encyclopedias, you know, have something of that. But Srila Prabhupada said, you know, many people don't know my name, and but they know us as the Hare Krishna people. They know of us. You know, people say, oh, you're a Hare Krishna. Or my mother passed away, she used to call me, say, Hare Krishna. But, you know, he said, many people know us, the Hare Krishna people. Actually, we're Gaudiya Vaishnavas. But what we sing is Hare Krishna, the Maha Mantra. So people know that. And they say, oh, all you people out in the street with cymbals and drums. Although sometimes when they go to the airport, they say, I haven't seen you people in a long time. Yeah, my mother met the devotees in Los Angeles. That was when I was living in India. Some people, their parents were opposed to them becoming devotees. My mother wasn't, and my father wasn't, but they went to the... Actually, I was living in India for 5 years. They went to... They didn't know so much about the devotees, but somehow they went and visited the Los Angeles temple. They were living near there. And then they wrote me back. They said, any place that's as clean as that, we're in favor of. I'm not saying anything about how I was before, but he said, anything as clean as that, we're clean, nicely kept, as that we are in favor of. Then, what was that? Yeah. They met Srila Prabhupada. I was trying to remember my train of thought where I was with that. Anyway.
And being clean.
Yeah.
Talking about we're Hare Krishnas, but actually we're Gaudiya Vaishnavas.
Yeah. So anyway, they came there and they met him. I was in India. I hadn't seen them for a long time. I met him. Anyway, I forget what I was going to say, but I'll just ask if anyone has any questions. As I said, we're happy to be able to be here and to be able to join with. And I could see when we were singing, everyone more or less was following very nicely. And Srila Govindamaraj came out. I said, well, a lot of us, we don't know some of these songs. He said, well, if you don't ever sing them, how will you learn them? So anyway, I've been singing them since then. Does someone have a question? Yeah?
I know earlier we were talking about association and how much that means in our spiritual life, but, you know, in times in our life, we don't have so much association or temples to go to or programs to go to. In those times, like, I know they suggest japa, shastra, like this, but... Is there anything else you can add on to that? Or,
No.
How to survive.
Yeah. Well, I remember one time I was driving some distance, so I had some tapes of Srila Govindamaraj. She put them while I was driving. I was listening to about 5 or 6 different, you know, a lot of his lectures were recorded in his room. And we spent a lot of time in his room, you know, with him. So sometimes you'd even hear different, either yourself or other devotees there talking with Srila Govinda Maharaj. You need to be explaining things. I was listening to those tapes as driving up the coast, you know, and listening. And it was very nice. It was like being in Srila Govinda Maharaj's room. So, I don't know, like some kind of association in that way. There's so many ways in which you can get, you know, you can get some nourishment, some nourishment in your life, get something to, you know, to nourish, some to eat, you know, something like that. And sometimes you just run into different situations where people you meet, they remind you. Actually, sometimes you'll even hear Gurudev or the devotees speaking through other people. That happens. It's very nice. And some things, you get some realizations. Oh, I never understood what that was all about before. And, you know, that happens. So, I remember when Srila Govinda Maharaj left this world, I was going, you know, it was Calcutta, and then we were going to Nabadeep. And then, you know, naturally, when after Prabhupada, after Guru Maharaj, after Govinda Maharaj left, you'd feel some separation from them. But at the same time, I remember so many times when I was in Calcutta, I'd, you know, catch a bus or something, I'd go to Nabadeep. And then I go to Nabadeep usually because a lot of times Govinda Maharaj would send me there for some service. A lot of times he was in Calcutta, send me to Nabadeep. Then I'd come back on the bus or something to Calcutta, and then I'd be going to see Srila Govinda Maharaj. So like that, traveling, I always had some feeling that I was going in Gurudev's service or I was going to see Gurudev. I always had that sense of traveling. And I don't know, my whole life I'm traveling. I'm traveling all, you know. But it feels like every time I'm either going to Gurudev or I'm doing some service for Gurudev, I feel that, you know, engagement when I'm traveling. So I don't feel so much separation in that sense. So you say, well, we're by ourselves. But, you know, when are you really ever by yourself? I don't know. I know there's a saying in Spanish, they say, you know, say, mejor solo que mal acompañado. Better to be by yourself than be in bad association. But it's just the opposite. You know, sometimes I'm my worst association. But luckily, I'm not by myself. In any situation, I can always find some engagement or some way of relating with the devotees. No, maybe not like it should be 24 hours a day, but it should be like that. But if we're a little bit honest with ourselves, you know, a little bit honest, then we'll always find that we're not alone, that we always have some association. You can always find that association. And, you know, when I'm with other persons, I feel that they're my well-wisher, you know. My Gurudev's my well-wisher. But he's transmitting also something through them. Anyway, I don't know. I don't see things negatively. I always try to see things kind of optimistically, you know. I mean, sometimes I can be sarcastic. Somebody could think, oh, he's very cynical. No, but I'm really not. Like something that doesn't come to me natural, to come to me is cynicism. I can be sarcastic and biting, but, you know, actually underneath everything, very optimistically, I'm always thinking that, you know, I didn't do anything to earn this. Somehow or other, I just, you know, got some mercy. So did a lot of other people. You did also. I've been in your house, you know, your family. Oh, good things happening like that. I don't know. this idea of, you know, when I'm by myself, how will I have association? I don't think association is ever very far away. Now I'm going to be traveling again, and I see that Srila Govinda Maharaj, our God brother, many of you may know him, Yudhamanyu Prabhu, Yudhamanyu Seva Vikram, you know, he's been preaching 9 years in China, Chengdu, what is it? Chongqing. There's devotees, Shenzhen, you know, in China. Who, you know, Srila Govinda Maharaj, somebody said something to him, and Srila Govinda Maharaj said, he said, I don't see anything as impossible. I am not surprised by anything. He said, only that they are chanting Hare Krishna in China, I am surprised by that. So, you know, like a new frontier, you can say. But he's been, you could say, how could anybody feel that they're more by themselves than to be in a place where, you know, you can't speak the language. You don't know, you know, the customs. You don't know the food. You know. But he goes there, and people come to him, and people have. He went there as a teacher, as an English teacher, and people joined from in their curriculum. Because, strangely enough, you know, we're not the only ones with problems. Other people have problems too. Sometimes they come to you and they express, you know, like, especially there, they're under a lot of competition. You know, competition, it means a lot. You know, to fail in school, to fail in their career, anything, it's devastating. It's devastating for many people. Yeah, I guess even in this country. But there, where things are so competitive also, you know, people are really affected if they can't compete and succeed. And even on their personal life, you know, in personal relations with other people, you know, one can feel very insecure in this world. And then when they hear something of philosophy of, you know, Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada came, everyone's giving Krishna consciousness. Mahaprabhu, his name, means Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Krishna consciousness. When you hear something on that, it changes your perspective. You don't see things with the same restricted vision. You see things differently. And many people have come to him, you know, having heard from him and having him, they're concerned about their grades. He says, I never give out bad grades. But, you know, they come to him and he says, people don't know me so well. They know me as Mr. John. But others who are a little closer, students who become closer, they know him as Yuda or Yudhamanyu. Yeah. So he goes to a place where there is no association, and he makes that association. And I'm sure all of you on one level or another have some experience in this world. You have friends, even friends you're not necessarily overtly showing that you're engaged in Krishna consciousness or that you're a devotee. People who joined us in California and they went back and working in Delhi, and they can't even mention that they're observing a codicil because it would be looked down upon. People would think they're religious fundamentalist or something. So they, you know, don't use the term, but they observe a codicil. You know. But still, even in situation where people are apparently by themselves, they find that somebody else comes to them, you know, on some level of devotion. And then devotees, after a while, they start, you know, winning, accumulating. Like there's that saying that says, you know, friends come and go, but enemies accumulate. But that's, you know, that's said cynically. But actually, we find that, you know, where we go, devotees accumulate. There's all these people interested in something in spiritual life, maybe tangentially, maybe not directly, but people will come to you. And they, you know, Srila Srinivas Maharaj, he said a man or a person is known according to their ideals. Now, I'm not telling you what your ideals should be, but somebody is known according to their ideals. If someone has no ideals, what level are they living in life? Person's known according to their ideals. Now, everyone has, you know, everyone, I guess, should have or has some kind of ideals. So ultimately, this is our ideals. It means something to us, you know. Anyway, like that. Anyone else have a question? So, yeah?
My question is, if someone is appreciating this high ideal Krishna consciousness, and conflicted with appreciating that beauty, and yet not understanding why the world is so dark. Hmm. What might we say to them?
Well, that's. He goes. I don't know. I was one time, you know, collecting in Bengal, and I went to a place called Memory. And we were collecting from potato merchants. They were giving us donations of potatoes for Gaur Purnima. We were bringing them back. Big donate, you know. So I went to this one man, and he said, I can't give you any donation this year. Things are going very badly for me. My business is very bad and everything. And I said, well, you know, what is your business? And he says, well, you know, basically I sell, you know, things for people's crops. I sell fertilizer. I sell things like that, you know, for people's crops. And I said, well, does your fertilizer, what you sell, does it come with any instructions? Are there any instructions on the bag? I mean, he said, yes, of course. All these products come with instructions, how to use them and everything like that. And I said, but don't you think this world comes with some instructions? I said, you know, Bhagavad Gita, it's also instructions. And I said, what does Krishna say about this world? Dukalayam ashashvatam. He says it's in one of the concomitant ingredients in this material world is unhappiness and ashashvatam. It's temporary. So even if you're very stoic and you make some adjustment to some of the difficulties in life, still it's temporary. You won't be able to make a real adjustment because you'll be kicked out of that pretty soon. Or eventually. So I said, here's Krishna telling you that this world is dukalayam ashashvatam. It's temporary, and of course, you know, you could say, well, why miserable? Well, there's duality in this world. There's happiness and distress. Nothing comes in a pure form, you know. Dukalayam. He says this world is full of misery, and it's material nature. Everything material is temporary. So I said, there's your instruction. Your instructions on this, on your fertilizer, how to use them are there. There's some instructions from the Creator. You know, the real Creator, not Lord Brahma, the Creator of what's going on in this world, Krishna. And he's telling you this world is temporary and miserable. So why are you saying because you've had a bad year that all of a sudden, because you've had a bad year, you shouldn't be involved in any devotion to the Lord? Well, it seemed to me that that's a good time to also be devoted, you know, to engage in something. Our devotion shouldn't just depend on, you know, it's a good year, so I'll give something. It's a bad year, so I don't want to give anything. Here, soul, we're involved in devotion. Whether it's a good year or a bad year, we should be involved in that level. And he laughed when I told him, there's the instruction manual for this world. And Krishna in that instruction manual says, this world is dukkalayam ashashvatam. It's miserable and temporary, among other things. You know, as I said, you know, that's not the whole answer, because we're not just involved in the material world. We're actually involved on a level of, you know, spirit, faith. Faith is important to us. You know, having some faith, that's very important. That's your foundation of existence. So, you know, you think of the beauty of Krishna consciousness, that, but, you know, then there's unhappiness or the sometimes the strong, you know, so-called, instead of, we have that book, you know, Search for Sri Krishna, Reality the Beautiful. But sometimes in this world, somebody is thinking of reality the ugly. But that's not real reality. That's the material nature. So what can I tell you when you're conflicted in that way? Well, you know, like I told that man, he said, you're having a bad year, but why should you expect something different out of the material nature, you know? You have a good year, that's nice, but, you know, dukkalayam ashashvatam. So, yeah. Well, we always hear Prabhupada, you say, birth, death, old age, and disease. So, you're still young. You got some things going for you. Anyway. Another question? Yeah.
Hi. So in the do's and the don'ts, as far as accumulation or not wanting more than you need, I'm 66. So how do you prepare for the future when you're getting old and you're trying to know that at 84 I'll have a house or...
Well, maybe that's not collecting more than necessary. I don't know. In this world, you know.
How do you know it's necessary? Can you, like, as far as planning for the future?
Well, we're ultimately interested in what is spiritual consciousness, and you know that is our concern. We're not as far as knowing what I need in this material world in order to live. I mean, you're 66. You've had some experience. You could make some adjustment, I think. You know, you have some idea of what's necessary to, you know, to maintain body and soul together. Certainly, I wouldn't say that, you know, because somebody has a pension or they have some fund or whatever it is, I wouldn't say that's atyahara, collecting more than necessary. Atyahara is a little different. Atyahara is more related with, you know, just accumulating and accumulating and accumulating for the sake of accumulating. You know. But certainly, you know, the Bhagavatam will say about having, you know, why curry favor from rich people when aren't there, you know, what is it saying? Why aren't there isn't there cloth, discarded cloth lying in the street? Aren't the rivers giving water, you know? Don't the trees bear fruit, you know? And why will we go to beg favor from rich people? You know, it's basically that's what it's saying. But, you know, the message is not to just like dress in rags or live in the street. Or, you know, I don't know how long you'll live by drinking river water in many places of America, you know, without getting some filtration system at least. But, you know, the message is very clear. It's very clear. We're not taking these things necessarily, you know, literally. We're trying to understand what's the spirit behind it, you know. So at Yahari, you can understand, you know, why am I working so hard so that necessarily I can have a new car every year and I can have, I can have 3-4 houses here and there and all that kind of stuff. I don't think that's the case. But, you know, you get some idea what Atyahara is. And Atyahara is, you know, collecting me to different people. It can mean different things, but collecting more than necessary. You know, to someone who is extremely renounced. You know, I know one person, now his name, Kinchen Maharaj, a friend of mine. You know, he had a job, he had a job, and he worked at Cisco, and they gave him all these courses. He knew, he was maintaining like 300 different engineers and their routers and all that. And he had a decent salary, but he's a very unique individual. He only lived in a small room. He had a small room and a small kitchen. He used to pay like $300 a month in rent. He had no car. He'd take the light rail in San Jose to go to work. You know, he'd, you know, somebody asked him to loan him money or something, he'd loan that person money, he'd give donations to the temple, but he never really kept anything for himself, hardly. So I would think of that as some level of Atyahara. He's not engaged in collecting more than necessary. He's a very renounced person. So to him, that means something different than it means to me, you know. People would tell him, you know, why don't you have a car? No, I could take the light rail to work every day. It's easy. Yeah. And, you know, he would help other people. And he's this very expert technologically, and he didn't even wouldn't even buy a new computer till finally everyone told him, hey, you need to take something better than this. And then he bought something. So. Anyway, Atyahara can mean different things to different people. But I think one can apply it to their life to understand that I don't need to accumulate more than I'm really needing to live, you know. Not meant to be miserly or frugal or not having any commodities or necessities in life. That's not what it means. It just means that why get so like engrossed in just accumulating for the sake of accumulating? You know, it loses its sense. So that this is talking about something that's just going to take you out of consciousness, Atyahara, prayasas, cha. Prayasas maybe can even be a little related. It's just too much endeavor for something completely mundane and meaningless. Prayasas, cha. Atyahara, prayasas, cha. Prajalpo. Prajalpo is gossip. You know, just speaking nonsense. Prajalpo. The prajalpa, you know, prajalpa. Everything has a spiritual level, you know. Like, loyam means greed, but lolam for something as spiritual is also one of the qualities mentioned of developing perfection. If you have greed for spiritual life, you know, some strong longing. Then it's not greed, it's more like longing, but it's the same word, longing. And ultimately, what it's all about, someone is known according to their faith. What their faith is, that's really very important. You know, everything is built on faith. You can't build anything, you know, on faith. That people may study, you know, oh, I'm studying Hinduism, I'm studying Gaudiya Vaishnavism in the university. Well, yeah, you can study it, maybe. Maybe that'll help you. But ultimately, in order to, you know, actually live something, you have to have some faith. Otherwise, if you're just looking at something in a very dry, analytical way, what will you be able to understand? Maybe if you get some mercy, you'll glean something. But otherwise, you know, you need some faith to enter into things. Yeah. Anyway, so maybe we'll just sing Hare Krishna and then distribute prasadam, right? Is that okay? If somebody has urgency for another question, I'll answer. Okay. Oregon ki jai. All the eastern and western devotees ki jai. Gaur Premanande.
Jai Shila Bhakti Pavan Janardhan Maharaj ki jai.